Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're in a series on worship, and God has some lessons for us along the way. 2 Samuel chapter 6, this is God's word. David again assembled all the fit young men in Israel, 30,000. He and all his troops set out to bring the Ark of God from Baal, Judah. The Ark bears the name of the Lord of armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and transported it from Abinadab's house, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the cart and brought it with the Ark of God from Abinadab's house on the hill. Ahio walked in front of the Ark. David and the whole house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all kinds of fir wood instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah reached out to the Ark of God and took hold of it because the oxen had stumbled. Then the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and God struck him dead on the spot for his irreverence. And he died there, next to the Ark of God. David was angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, so he named that place Outburst Against Uzzah, as it is today. David feared the Lord that day and said, "How can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me?" So he was not willing to bring the Ark of the Lord to the city of David. Instead, he diverted it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The Ark of the Lord remained in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his whole family. It was reported to King David, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's family and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of the Lord." So David went and had the Ark of God brought up from Obed-Edom's house to the city of David with rejoicing. When those carrying the Ark of the Lord advanced 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened calf. David was dancing with all his might before the Lord, wearing a linen ephod. He and the whole house of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of the ram's horn. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Saul's daughter Michal looked down from the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent David had pitched for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings in the Lord's presence. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of armies. Then he distributed a loaf of bread, a date cake, and a raisin cake to each one in the entire Israelite community, both men and women. Then all the people went home. When David returned home to bless his household, Saul's daughter Michal came out to meet him. "How the king of Israel honored himself today," she said. "He exposed himself today in the sight of the slave girls of his subjects like a vulgar person would expose himself." David replied to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me over your father and his whole family to appoint me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will dance before the Lord, and I will dishonor myself and humble myself even more. However, by the slave girls you spoke about, I will be honored. And Saul's daughter, Michal, had no child to the day of her death. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There's a lot in this chapter. Do you ever get around people who worship differently than you do? Do you ever encounter that? Some folks were thrilled to see kneelers in the new chapel. Other folks got a little nervous. I mean, you know, what's next? Not used to that. I've had the privilege of worshiping the Lord in a lot of different churches, of a lot of different denominations, a lot of different traditions, not just here in this country, but in various parts of the world. And one thing that's very, very clear is that God's family is big and it is diverse. Whoever you are and however you worship, there are going to be a lot of other folks who do things differently than you're used to. So I guess the best approach is just to say, you know, whatever floats your boat. Just do whatever you feel like. No. We have an example here in this text of some people who were doing some very enthusiastic, zealous worshiping, and in the midst of the party, God struck one of them dead. Well, what did he do? Well, he saw that the Ark of God, which was the most holy thing in the kingdom, the most holy object in the kingdom, he saw that it was about to fall, and he didn't want it to fall, so he reached out and grabbed it in order to protect it. And God was so angry with him that he struck him dead. So David got angry at God and said, I don't want the ark. Because if that's the way God can flare up, I don't think it's safe to be that close to God. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people who would like to keep God at a distance. They'd like to be religious, but not too religious. You know what I mean? They'd like, you know, to have contact with God, to be able to pray or perhaps employ someone to pray on their behalf. But they don't really want to get all that close themselves. Because being that close to God can be scary. So try and get the picture first of what's happening here. Huge celebration. David and the whole house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all kinds of firwood instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. This is a great celebration. This is a huge thing. The military's there. The band is playing. This is great. They are celebrating. They're dancing. Everybody's happy. But here's the problem. They weren't doing what God said to do, the way that God said it should be done. The problem was not that they'd gone to get the ark and bring it to Jerusalem. The problem was that God had designed the ark in such a way that nobody would touch it. There were rings on the ark through which there were poles, and you carry the poles, only touching the poles. You don't touch the ark. And the ark wouldn't be about to fall if you'd followed instructions. If you did it God's way, you wouldn't have to reach out and grab the ark to steady it. But times change. Technology moves forward. And so we've got to adapt. Why would we want to carry it on poles when we can put the ark on a cart and let the oxen do the work, okay? I mean, we'll still have somebody going before it and somebody coming after it and make sure it's okay, but it's just ridiculous. Why would we want to carry the thing? Well, let me give you a reason why you would want to carry the thing. Because God said so. That's why you do it that way. I think technology is a wonderful thing, used properly. But if technology is used to disobey God, not okay. There are a lot of ways in which we can use good things for bad purposes. And any time that you're disobeying God, it's bad.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees, is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
So, they were having a huge celebration declaring the greatness of God while disobeying what God had said. That's a problem. That's what was going on. And so God did what to David was upsetting. And I dare say it would have been to us too. God killed somebody right there in the middle of the party. If we had something like this happen, I dare say some of us might get a little nervous. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Remember them? They wanted to make a gift to the building fund. It's great to make a gift. But the problem was they wanted people to think that they had given all. All to Jesus I surrender. Be careful. Don't pose in a false pose. Was it okay to sing that song? If you sing it as a song of aspiration, yes. Lord, this is the way I want it to be. I want to surrender all to you. I want you to be in control of my life. I want to yield everything to you. But if you try and pretend that you're there, yes, I remember sinning once back in the 70s. You better be careful. Because Ananias and Sapphira tried that bit. And the Apostle Peter said, how dare you lie? Why would you lie to the Holy Spirit? God took them out, died on the spot in the church gathering. Pastor, I really don't like the fact that you're talking about God killing people. It's making me uncomfortable, and I think we need to emphasize that God is love. God is love, but he loves us too much to perpetuate lies, especially when done in his name. Uzzah died. And David said, we're just going to leave the ark right here, okay? Don't want to bring it to Jerusalem. Let it stay with this guy's house over here. He can have the ark. Thanks very much. I'm going home. Apparently the music stopped. Everybody walks back. Several months go by, and David gets word. You remember the guy where we left the ark? God has poured out blessings on his house like you wouldn't believe. I mean, his crops, his family, their health, their finances, everything is going great. They invested in this little company called Apple, and, you know, it's just amazing. So, you know, the family there is thinking, I'm kind of glad it worked out this way. We got the Ark of God's presence in our house, and God is just pouring out blessings. Come in. Hi, I'm King David. We're here to take the Ark. What? Okay. But this time they do it right. And once again, there is great rejoicing. But this time they are rejoicing as they obey the Lord instead of rejoicing as they disobey the Lord. If we're going to worship rightly, if we're going to worship in spirit and in truth, we need to understand, on the one hand, the importance of reverence that is displayed in obedience. And on the other hand, we need to recognize the importance and appropriateness of jubilant celebration. Some people feel that if you're going to be reverent, all worship has to be in a very ancient manner. Amen. Now, if you're into Gregorian chants, that's all right. It's not what we do here, but we're not saying it's bad, as long as you don't think that Gregorian chants are the only way to worship God. I just find everything else not worshipful. I just don't find it speaks to me. Well, it's supposed to be speaking to God, just so you know, okay? So maybe start by switching that paradigm around and focus not on how you feel, but on what you're doing, which is offering God the sacrifice of praise. But I want you to understand, if you're really into jubilant celebration, I mean, if you like to get up and dance, there is a difference between emotion and emotionalism. Emotion is part of God's design for how we're made. It's a good thing. God displays emotion in the scriptures. And so when we display emotion appropriately, we are reflecting the likeness and glory of God. But emotionalism is not the same thing. There are people for whom worship is not about the worship of God, it's about how it makes me feel. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I appreciate that. I felt like you walked all over my feet this morning. Now, they're not saying I don't appreciate that. They're saying they feel good because they find being reprimanded cathartic. Okay? So if you make me feel guilty and ashamed, you've done me a favor. Thank you. You've earned your pay, Pastor. Now, I'm not suggesting we shouldn't appreciate a biblical rebuke. What I'm saying is that if you come to church in order to try and get your emotional workout, you're here for the wrong reasons. And the solution is not to quit coming, it's to start coming for the right reasons. Come because you want to worship the Lord. Come because he is worthy and he commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Gather in his name to offer him praise because he alone is worthy. So, when David takes the ark, heads into Jerusalem, they were outdoors, they didn't have air conditioning. David stripped off his clothes and went along in a linen ephod. You can look that up in a Bible dictionary, but it's apparent from the text that that's not a lot to wear, okay? He wasn't dressed as befits a king. His wife, Michal, accused him of showing off, like one of the vulgar people in town. He wasn't dressed modestly. But David wasn't focused on how he was dressed. And when it says he was dancing before the Lord, he wasn't focused on his steps. This wasn't a waltz. He was dancing before the Lord with all his might. He was putting everything into it. And as he did, his wife Michal was scandalized. Doesn't say anything about anybody else being scandalized, but she looked out and she saw him and she thought, that is disgraceful. He's not acting like a king. He's acting like a lunatic. So instead of worshiping the Lord, she went out to greet her husband and reprimand him. She went out and told him, shame on you. You've behaved badly by exposing yourself in front of the slave girls of the citizens who are your subjects. You're supposed to be above that. You're supposed to be dignified. You're supposed to look the part. You're supposed to live according to my expectations, even if you're worshiping God. Because what matters is not what God thinks, it's what I think. Got it? David said, I humbled myself, and I will humble myself more. It's not about looking distinguished. Now, it's not about emotionalism. It's not about getting all worked up for the sake of getting worked up. I've been in churches where I went ahead and tried to join in even though it's not my nature. I'm Norwegian. Okay, we just don't do that. Well, let me tell you something. The goal is not to try and give yourself an aerobic workout. But sometimes we need to be careful about judging what others are doing. Our goal here is not to make sure that all of you can tick the boxes and say, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I like. That's what touches me. I'm happy if you are blessed and encouraged by what you experience. But my goal is that we would be knit together in offering God what he desires. That's the goal. That's the goal. It's not about how we feel. It's about what God says and who he is. Why were they having all this celebration? Why was it so important to be reverential and obedient and jubilant? Because they were celebrating the presence of the Lord. Well, God is everywhere. Yes. But at the ark, he was present in a very special and unique way. And let me tell you something. God is not only omnipresent everywhere. God lives in all believers. And yet there is a special manifestation of God's presence when believers gather together in Jesus' name. I know that because God promised it. He said he would do that, and that's why we do this. That's why we're here in this place. This building is filled with symbolism. All of us are under the cross at all times here in this room. You enter by way of the cross. We are surrounded by the cross because that is where everything changed. The debt was paid in full. We do what we do only because of what he has already done. Our purpose is to honor and celebrate the grace of God.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.